U.S. President Barack Obama has delivered his State of the Union address. Undaunted by the new Republican majority in Congress, he said that a new round of sanctions against Iran would dash any hopes for a diplomatic solution to Iran's nuclear file, while putting the all-options card on the table once again. In this edition of the debate, we'll be discussing Iran's nuclear standoff with the West. Will the agreement reached last November, delayed until July of this year, bear any results? Not if it's up to Republican majority in Congress. The House Speaker, John Boehner, has invited Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu to address lawmakers on Iran. Stay with us.
As President Barack Obama delivered his State of the Union address, Democrats in Congress had never appeared so divided before. A showdown looms between some Democrats and the White House, and Iran's nuclear energy program lies at the heart. This comes after some Democrats have joined up with Republicans to push for fresh sanctions on Iran as negotiations continue to end the decade-old nuclear standoff with the West. Obama made it clear that new sanctions would sink those talks and reiterated his decision to veto them.
Between now and this spring, we have a chance to negotiate a comprehensive agreement. There are no guarantees that negotiations will succeed. And I keep all options on the table to prevent a nuclear Iran. But new sanctions passed by this Congress at this moment in time will all but guarantee that diplomacy fails, alienating America from its allies, making it harder to maintain sanctions.
Last year, he successfully forced the Republicans to take down the bill with the veto threat. But this time around, his chances are slim, and Obama runs the risk of the first veto override of his tenure. The Islamic Republic wants to settle the dispute and guarantee its right to peaceful nuclear technology under international law. Iran has repeatedly declared its readiness to give any guarantee about the peaceful nature of its activities. On Tuesday, as Obama gave his address to Congress, a new UN report acknowledged that Iran is honoring all its commitments under a temporary agreement. For more than a decade, UN inspectors have left no stone unturned as they have scoured Iran for any sign of a diversion, but to no avail. However, the dispute between Iran and the West has never been technical. It's a political clash which broke out right after the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979. Since then, the U.S. has been using various excuses to subdue a system which doesn't comply with the American vision of the world order.
It's probably productive to take a look at one of the most important quotes, I think, coming out of President Obama's speech. And specifically, he said, and I'll quote him, "Our values keep us exceptional," close quote. Now, what he's actually saying then is values really is a synonym for agenda, and exceptional is a synonym for we don't have to follow international law. That is to say, the United States is not bound by the rules that every other nation is bound by.
Behind the enmity is the pro-Israel lobby, which takes its orders from Tel Aviv. The Israeli regime is opposed to a nuclear settlement with Iran. Through its lobbyists in the White House and on Capitol Hill, Israel has shaped the tough policy against Iran. It has pushed for sanctions after sanctions. Even U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has made a habit of reporting to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu before and after every round of negotiations with Iran. The Israeli leader hopes that sanctions could lead to another war in the Middle East. The American public is fiercely opposed to another war, which could lead to disastrous consequences of phenomenal proportions. Pro-Israeli groups don't represent even American Jews. They merely reflect the views of the Israeli regime and the hawkish worldview of the Israeli right, which is dreaming of an empire stretching from the Nile in Egypt to the Euphrates in Iraq. The U.S. Congress has responsibilities and has to answer to the American public at a trying time. It'll take cooler heads to handle the situation wisely and prevent it from spiraling out of control.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. We have Syed Mustafa Khoshanch, who's a political analyst who joins us in the studios. We have Michael Lane, founder of American Institute for Foreign Policy, who joins us from Washington. Gentlemen, welcome. Syed Mustafa Khoshanch, I'll start with you. Very simple question. I leave all options on the table to prevent a nuclear Iran. That's a quote directly from the U.S. President Barack Obama in a State of the Union address. What does he mean by that exactly?
In the name of God, hello and thank you very much for inviting me. Well, this State of Union address needs to be dealt with in two different ways. One, we should talk about the things that Obama said about Iran and its nuclear standoff with Iran specifically. And two, we should deal with it as just a small piece in a very broader picture and bigger puzzle. But as you just questioned about his old catchphrase, all options are on Iran, this means that the United States has adopted or has resumed its old policy, that is the language of force, intimidation, pressure against Iran. After more than three decades that they've been using the same language against Iran, and they have never obtained anything through pressuring and intimidating and threatening Iran, once again Obama is doing so, because Obama cares more about Israel's interests. Remember that I said we should talk about the State of Union address very specifically in the first, I think, stance. It's just because two important things were stated. One, I mean, among other things, one was if we strike a deal with Iran, that means Iran will not have nuclear weapons and Israel will remain safe, will be safe. Number one, if we strike a deal with Iran, then Iran won't have, this means Iran won't have nuclear weapons. This implies that if we don't strike a deal with Iran, Iran has nuclear weapons capability. That's a lie. After all these voluntary measures that Iran has taken and all the ambiguities that Iran has resolved for the IAEA, 16 questions have been answered totally according to the IAEA, and there are only two more questions that Iran's nuclear chief Salehi said just a couple of days ago that Iran is going to answer those two questions, and it's trying to do so. After all these voluntary measures, Obama is repeating the same old allegations, and that's number one. Number two, he said that if we strike a deal, Israel will be safe. That's of not much surprise, but of much regret, because once again, the White House leaders are thinking of Israel's interests before thinking about their own national interests, and I'll talk about it later.
Very well. Well, let me ask you this, Michael Lane. These sanctions that have been threatened by the Republicans to be leveled against Iran, of course, some are saying immediately, some are saying afterwards, if a deal is not struck. I mean, for the current time, if it's going to be vetoed by the U.S. president, why is there so much talk about it right now to the extent that it is?
Well, first, let me clarify that I believe the movement for a delayed sanctions bill with a trigger is a bipartisan effort. It's not just a Republican effort. And in fact, one of the leading crusaders on this is Senator Bob Menendez, a Democrat from New Jersey. But the reason that the Congress wants to go forward with this now, the reasons are essentially twofold. Number one, they don't trust the president to come forward with an acceptable good deal. They believe that the president is so committed to a deal being part of his legacy that he's likely to accept a bad deal, which they don't want to do. And number two, they want to hold his feet to the fire at this point, and sort of as a warning shot over the bow, by passing a sanctions bill now that everybody acknowledges will be vetoed, they have put Obama on notice that another six-month delay, if an agreement is not reached by June, is not going to sit well with the Congress.
You heard our guest there from Washington, Mr. Khoshnesh. What do you think?
Well, the question deals with the broader picture that I was talking about. There are certainly two types of interpretations. One, the first group accepts that there is a confrontation between the White House and the lawmakers over Iran to some extent. Number two, that I also, I am a member of this group, is that there is no confrontation, and these things are just theatrical moves by the United States. Why? There are many proofs for that. One, Remember that under the 2013 interim deal that was signed by Iran and the six world powers in Geneva last year, it's one of the main points was that in a final deal, all sanctions should be removed in a final deal with Iran. And we all remember that a few months ago that President Barack Obama wrote a letter to the Iranian supreme leader saying that let's start with a gradual removal of the sanctions, and afterwards we will deal with the rest of the sanctions. That was rejected, totally rejected by the leader and Iran. This implies that Obama knows that Iran's nuclear program is civilian. Otherwise, he would not offer the removal of the sanctions. He would have not written such a letter. He would have said, why don't you prove